Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day weekend to you all. That's an event that's going on, in case you didn't know it. And in case you didn't know it, a certain mother in the Ryan household has become a mother once again. Catherine and I are expecting a little baby due August of this year. And in case you didn't know it, that little baby will be the first little lady born into the Ryan household. We are expecting a baby girl. You'd have clapped for a boy too, right? Now, we know there's going to be a few things that'll be different with raising a girl versus raising the boys that we are used to. But we also know a few things that we'll absolutely be expecting over the coming weeks, months, and even years based on the boys. Things that we'll be trying to do and doing for our daughter. As her parent, we'll be wanting to spend a lot of time with her, as much time as she'll let us. We'll be providing for her. We'll be protecting her. We'll be helping her fall asleep at night. We'll be doing plenty of that. Now, in case you didn't know it, Mother's Day is not the only thing we're celebrating this weekend. We're also celebrating Good Shepherd Sunday. That is today, a day where we rejoice in what Jesus, our Good Shepherd, has done for us, his sheep. And he's done all kinds of stuff for us. And actually, as you look at that list up there that we'll be trying to do for our daughter, there's a lot of overlap there. As our Good Shepherd, Jesus longs to spend time with us, as much time as we'll let him spend. He provides for us, he protects us, and he even helps us fall asleep at night. So in celebration of these celebrations, we're going to be looking at these comparisons and talking very specifically about how Jesus, our Good Shepherd, does these things for us, his sheep. And we'll actually start with the last one on the list up there. He longs to spend lots of time with us. And believe it or not, I am already spending a lot of time with my daughter. How can that be, you ask? Pastor Ryan, that doesn't make sense. She's not due until August. Well, I hear you, but you got to understand that she hears me too. In fact, studies show that babies can hear at just 18 weeks old in the womb. And by the time they are 25 weeks old in the womb, they recognize specific voices. Is that mom talking to me? Is that dad talking to me? So you know how I've been spending time with my daughter, right? I've been getting right down next to Catherine's stomach, and I've been having some good old conversations. I've been telling my daughter about my day. I've been singing to her. I've been telling her my best dad jokes. I've been telling her about some of the fantasy baseball trade offers I've gotten over the week. We both had some good laughs about some of those. Look, at the end of the day, the very moment she is born, I want her to recognize and take comfort in my voice. And by the way, St. John's family, this works. It's a story I've shared with you before, but it's absolutely one of my favorites. The day that Cooper, our middle child, was born, he was just crying and crying and crying. They put him on the scale. He keeps on crying and crying some more. I want him to stop. So I start talking to him. I say, hey, buddy, it's your daddy. I'm so excited to finally officially meet you. I love you so much. And at the sound of my voice, he goes silent. And I will never forget what the nurse in the delivery room said. She says, wow, he knows that voice, doesn't he? I will tell you, bar none, that was one of the best moments of my entire life. And if I, as a father, took so much joy in my son recognizing and taking comfort in my voice, just imagine how amazing it must be for God when we take comfort in and recognize his voice. And this is something he wants from you deeply. He wants you to recognize, take comfort in, and follow his voice as your good shepherd. And Jesus talks about this quite a bit in our lessons today. He says, my sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Elsewhere, he says, his sheep follow him because, get this, they know his voice, but they will never follow the voice of a stranger. This is an analogy that Jesus is making that the people of that time and place would have understood very well. They were much more familiar with sheep and shepherds than we are today. They would have watched as shepherds led their sheep to watering holes and met up with other shepherds and other sheep. It would have been a big old jumbled mess. How would they possibly sort this all out when it was time to leave? Did the shepherd have to go and find each individual sheep? Sally, is that you? Dolly, is that you? No. All he had to do was call to them and they would recognize his voice and his voice alone and they would follow him. And if you don't believe me, you got to check out this little video here. And if I may just set the stage, what you're about to see is three what appears to be teenage-esque kids, and they are going to call to sheep to try to get their attention and see if they'll follow their voices. They have a bet going with the shepherd that maybe just that will happen. But the shepherd says, no way, they're only going to follow my voice. And he absolutely proved it.
One more time. Look at them.
It is pretty amazing, isn't it, right? I love that video, and Jesus wants us to be like that with him. He wants us to recognize his voice like that and follow his voice and his voice alone. Now, do we always listen to the voice of Jesus? No. Sometimes we do listen to that voice of the stranger. Sometimes we choose to listen to the voices of this world that might not choose us, a voice like a boss or a coworker, a coach, or maybe a friend. But Jesus, our good shepherd, says, don't listen to those voices of mine. They're not trustworthy at all. Listen to my voice regularly, and you'll remember that you have been chosen by me, the God of the universe. He says that again and again. Sometimes we listen to the voices of social media and the amount of likes we get to know whether or not we are loved. But the God of the universe, the God who created everything with just his words say to you, don't listen to them. They're not trustworthy. Listen to my voice, and you'll hear regularly that I love you enough to die for you. Sometimes we listen to the voices of this world that tell us that we're worthless, that we don't have the gifts to accomplish anything worthwhile. God says, don't listen to those voices. They're not trustworthy. Listen to my voice, which tells you you're a masterpiece that has been created in me to do good works, that I've given you the exact right giftings to do things that are worthwhile, like be a light in the world. And oh, by the way, you want to talk about worth? You're worth enough to God that he died just for you. And finally, sometimes we even listen to our own voice above the voice of our good shepherd. We do that all the time, actually. But even our own voice is untrustworthy. Sometimes our voice, and I've seen this, people look in the mirror and say, it's just you and me. We're all alone in this. But Jesus says that voice is untrustworthy too. Listen to my voice, which tells you that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as the shepherd psalm says, he's even with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. St. John's family, imagine how it will change your day, week, month, year, and life if you spend regular time listening to the voice of Jesus above all those other voices, the voices of the strangers. The amount of peace you'll have, the wisdom you'll have, the guidance you'll have. And by the way, you can hear God's voice in many places where he promises, absolutely promises to meet you. You can hear his voice regularly in his word, the Bible, in prayer, and in worship. He longs to spend time with you there as your good shepherd, as much time as you'll let him spend. All right, so that's one of the comparisons there. Another thing that both the good shepherd does for us and I will be trying to do for my daughter, I'll be trying to help her fall asleep at night. And actually, the way that I'll be doing that and the way that Jesus does that for you is with everything else on this list. He helps us fall asleep at night by knowing and helping us know that we are protected by him, providing for us, and by spending lots of time with us. And we will be spending a lot of time trying to help our daughter sleep at night. In fact, one study found that when a child is under 3 months old, the average mother loses 62 minutes of sleep on an average night. That's a lot. But let's not ignore the plight of the father on Mother's Day today. Because that same study found, get this, that when a child is under 3 months old, the average father loses 13 minutes of sleep every single night. So St. John's family, if I'm looking a little worse for the wear with bags under my eyes, know that I might be down upwards of 13 minutes of sleep. And look at me, you know I need my beauty rest. Now, if those 13 minutes are spent helping my daughter get back to sleep, that is time well spent, isn't it? And I'm going to help her get back to sleep by making sure these four conditions are met. Is she hungry? Scared? Bothered? Does she just need a little extra love? And once those four conditions are met, odds are she's going to go right back to sleep. The Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, it says, he makes me lie down. That's talking about the rest that the good shepherd helps his sheep get. And he actually helps his sheep get that sleep by meeting four very specific conditions. I was doing a little research this week, and I found out that sheep are very light sleepers, apparently, and they won't lie down and rest until these four conditions are met. First, they must be free from all fear. Now, how does the good shepherd help his sheep feel safe? Well, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's what the shepherd's psalm says. The good shepherd protects his sheep with his rod and staff, that shepherd's staff. He wards off wolves or lions or whatever might come their way. And our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, he protects us from all kinds of things that would harm us in body and, more importantly, in soul. He protects us from earthly enemies who would consistently harm us to the point that the shepherd psalm says, what? He prepares a table for me in the midst of them. That's how comfortable we're going to be around even our enemies. The good, he protects us from the attacks of Satan and the temptations of Satan. And most importantly, he protects us from our own sin that would have left us eternally separated from him. How does he do that? Well, he said so in John 10 today. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus, as your good shepherd, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death on the cross, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. In doing so, he paid the price that we owed. He was the sacrifice that we needed. And he removed the separation that was between us and God. And now we get to have an eternal relationship with our good shepherd, one that starts today and lasts forever into heaven. And my goodness, are you going to sleep better at night knowing that your Lord and Savior, your good shepherd, has done that just for you? So sheep won't lie down and rest until they are free from all fear. And second, they won't lie down and rest until they have no friction in the flock. I didn't know this, but apparently sheep are a little sensitive to when there's fighting going on in the flock. When two lambs are going at it, when one lamb has been ostracized, this is something that really upsets the whole flock. And there's a very special case of this that the good shepherd looks out for. I've shared this with you before, so hopefully it sounds a little bit familiar. But there's something called the bummer lamb. And the bummer lamb is a lamb that's actually been rejected by its own mom. And the whole flock gets really upset about this. And they don't know what to do with that bummer lamb. And so the whole flock kind of rejects it. Well, the good shepherd, he keeps an eye out for that bummer lamb. And when he sees it, you know what he does? He takes it to himself. He feeds it out of a bottle. He lets it sleep on his chest at night so that it stays warm. He helps it grow big and strong. And when it has grown, he restores that bummer lamb to the flock, except it's no longer called the bummer lamb. It's something very special now. It's called the shepherd's lamb. And the whole flock rejoices to have that lamb restored to it. Jesus is our good shepherd. He looks out for the bummer lamb. We can read about it in Matthew 18. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? Jesus goes after those sheep amongst the church that have wandered off, that feel they have been rejected by the flock or have rejected the flock themselves. He goes and gets them, and he cares for them, and he restores them to the flock. And when that person is back, we all sleep better at night knowing they are back in the fold. Sheep, they won't lie down and rest until they're free from all fear, until they have no friction in the flock. And third, until they are free from the pests that bother. There's this line in Psalm 23 that might seem kind of random, like it has nothing to do with sheep or shepherds. You anoint my head with oil. But it has everything to do with sheep. You see, in that time, there were plenty of biting bugs and insects that would bother the sheep. And you know how the shepherd protected his sheep from those biting bugs? He put anointing oil all over them, and that would keep them free and clear from the pests that bothered. And the closer the sheep were in proximity to that good shepherd, the more likely they were to get that anointing oil that would protect them. Here's a truth for you. When you're not spending regular time with the good shepherd, things are going to bother you much more easily. You're going to be more bothered by little slights, little insults, someone cutting you off in traffic. But when you draw near to the good shepherd, the Bible promises that that chaos that we experience is going to be replaced by calmness, that even some of those big things, the anxieties that might bother us so, going to be replaced by the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a promise we find in Philippians 4:7. So sheep won't lie down and rest until they are free from all fear. They have no friction in the flock. They are free from the pests that bother. And finally, they have proper nutrition provided. And the good shepherd does this for his sheep by making them lie down in green pastures and leading them beside those still waters, the good food and drink that sheep need. And Jesus, as our good shepherd, he provides all kinds of things for us, for body and soul. He gives us his grace, forgiveness, mercy, love. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, through him, we get all kinds of encouragement, wisdom, and guidance. Our good shepherd sure does provide, doesn't he? And with all of those things, with the removal of fear, friction, pests, and worries, here's a promise. You're going to sleep like a baby when you experience all of that. What an amazing good shepherd we have, one who provides, protects, helps us sleep at night, and even more. And as we close out this message today, I have one final thought, or maybe a question, if you will. Why? Why does Jesus do all of this for us, his lowly sheep? What is in it for him? Well, why am I going to try to do all these things for my daughter? What's in it for me? The reason I'm going to do it is because I love her. I want a relationship with her. That's why Catherine and I are having a kid, someone to have a relationship with, to be an object of our love, to share in their joy, the parent-child joy. And you are here on this earth. You were created to be in a relationship with your good shepherd, to be an object of his love, to be showered with his love and affection in that parent-child relationship. And so my prayer for you this week is this. May you experience what you were created for. May you be drawn deeper into your relationship with your good shepherd, and may you experience his provision, his protection, his guidance, and more. May you do this in the name of Jesus, your good shepherd. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.